Hello, hello, hello. Lynn Pingle here, CEO of Mackie Company and your host
for the Tuesday noon hour. We are live and broadcasting the Procurement Games podcast and open conversations on WFNU 94.1 Frogtown Community Radio. So our show is about providing a platform for small businesses to showcase their expertise, share their stories, lessons learned while discussing the challenges they face in procurement and simply as a small business. So here we are again, Tuesday, and it is not as nerve-wracking as it was the last time I was here. I feel like I have a grasp on going live, kind of, sort of. So first things first, I want to welcome our Minnesota listeners and those across the U.S. who have truly supported our show and helped elevate the voices of small businesses across the U.S. in the ever-challenging world of procurement. Right here across from me is my fellow host and show technician, Jared Peterson. Jared, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. The snow in Minnesota is real. It was a little bit of a surprise for this. It's staying this time. Like normally, I've been here my whole life in Minnesota, but some days it gets a little interesting. So
you're telling me you slid around the roads on Monday?
You know, I am not one of those ones that forgets how to drive in the snow. It's just a little bit of a surprise, and then it's not a very long trigger in order to change the driving habits. But there's some people who have forgotten that snow is slippery.
No, yeah. I did that. That slip and slide in the SUV because I hit the brakes and you're not supposed to.
Don't pump your brakes. You have automatic brakes. You don't need to pump them. That's a misnomer.
I didn't see the post-it note on my dashboard on that one.
Yeah. Watch out for the ditch though.
Sidewalk.
Sidewalks. Those can jump out at you really quickly.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm Jared Peterson. I'm the show's technician, and I missed the intro because I'm getting used to being the technician behind here. Got to turn on mics when the show starts. But I'm executive director of our tech cooperative here, working with Lynn on facilitating these conversations about procurement and the Procurement Games podcast. I'm excited about our show today. We have a trailblazer sitting here in studio with us, and our trailblazers are paving the way for small businesses to succeed, the resources and connections that support the ecosystem all the way around. When we look at the association we're going to be talking to today, it helps the east side of St. Paul. We're looking forward to hearing how they do that. And before we introduce him, though, we'll recap our last episode. Our last conversation was on procurement, about the purchase of goods and services. We defined what that was. We tied those different challenges that businesses have in supplying those goods and services in industry. We talked about directories, my favorite topic. good faith efforts are interesting and not so fun sometimes. About favorite subcontractors and how the nepotism might come into play. How spend dollars can be used for good or for bad, and how those things can turn into something that can be pretty sour or something really awesome. Then we talked about why this show is important as a platform in order to bring up challenges that are facing the industry and bring them up to the forefront, and solutions to influence a system and how it can be more streamlined in the favor of small and disadvantaged businesses. And we got some great feedback. We had one listener who said, Lynn doesn't hesitate to bring out the problems for small and minority businesses that they face in the ecosystem. That was one quote we got. Another quote we got was the lively energy that was on this conversation and how it was informative. It was something that a lot of information that they hadn't received yet, and they had just gotten it in an hour-long podcast. So we look forward to our conversation this week.
Well, that stuff is pretty powerful. We got a lot of kudos and great jobs and keep it going, because these are topics that we are willing to take on and get on our soapbox about. One of my favorite feedbacks is really that's as real as conversation that you're going to get about the issues in government contracting. And that's a pretty powerful statement to receive from a small business. And I'm sure it's echoed across, right? For those of us who don't want to be blacklisted by making a comment, whether it's not just government contracting, it's also the private sector that kind of comes into play. Now, Jared, starting next month, we begin our new segment called The Talk, live conversations on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. And this segment really opens the channels for our listeners to call in live and chat with our guests and Jared and myself. So make sure you lock in this number because we didn't have it the last time. That is 651-313-5125. And that's where we're going to have you guys call in and contribute to the thoughts and comments from the previous week's episode. And it's a lot more informal than what we do on a Thursday where, you know, for lack of a better term, we're grilling our guests and putting them in situations. So, you know, our goal is not to turn him into the Hulk and you don't like me when I become angry, but most of all, it's really just a conversation to present to you, our listeners, in terms of how that's going to tie in. So let's talk about what's going on today, Jared. I am so excited to have our first Season 2 Trailblazer on our show. Paris Dunning with Eastside Area Business Association, ESABA for short, is in the room today. Paris, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Lynn.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you, Jared. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, yes. Excited to have you. So we sort of have a format here on the show with regards to how we're going to grill you today. You know, we don't want it to be that bad.
Well,
just slightly charred when you leave.
I'm hoping to come out more like a kebab and less like, you know, the char at the bottom of the of the fire after a long night of grilling. Go on.
There you go. There you go. So what I want to do is just kind of set the tone. I want to talk about you first and how you kind of came about. And then we want to jump into what ESABA offers as an association, what the benefits are and things like that. And then I want to go back to, you know, what are your thoughts? What are some of the challenges that you hear from the small businesses that are members? Or, you know, you're pretty connected, so even if they're not members, I'm sure people are coming up to you to share some of their ailments and that type of stuff. So I want to dive into that and then go a little bit deeper and go, hey, how can we fix this? What can we do? And such, and then go back to what is your organization doing to elevate and tie everything together as a form of or a way of to support entrepreneurs. So back to the top, let's make it about you. Tell me about you. What makes you you? And throw it back to when you were 5 years old.
Nice.
You can throw it back to high school, college. You know, what made you you?
Yeah. I don't want to go that far back. I want to go back to an experience that I had, though, here in Minnesota doing a different kind of work and how it is that I got into doing what it is that I'm doing now. I've spent about 15 years doing social service nonprofit work, and we were doing some organizing with families. It was a really great opportunity for me to get with community and learn a lot. And we were out at a apartment complex in the North Metro here in St. Paul, just north of St. Paul, and having some conversation with families there with one of their elementary school principals. Mm-hmm. The elementary school principal was in the room, and we were doing this organizing on behalf of the school. And at one point, you know, we were doing a go round of questions, and the principal just, he kind of leaned forward onto the table and he said, "You know what I'd really like to know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what you need." And I was like, oh, okay, maybe we're getting real here in a different way. You know, like we're just going.
A lotto ticket for $1 billion?
Something like that, right? Like straight up. And one of the young moms on the other side of the table, she had little kids who were in the other room doing the activities. We had volunteers helping us run. She kind of, you know, she kind of looked around at her, the other residents, and kind of just testing the eye contact. And she kind of looked back and leaned back on the table and she said, "Well, what I could really use is about $500 more dollars a month."
Mm. Wow, that's real.
Right? And he pushed back away from the table and he was like, "No, no, 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 like after school programs." and it just, it clicked for me right in that moment. Mm-hmm. What I wish we could do, you know, me, I'm thinking like, I wish my program was about was leaning back toward those moms and being like, "Well, what do we have in this community? What do we want to build together? What are the needs that we have? What are the assets that we have? Let's do some strength-oriented work and figure out." This is 10 years ago, right? Now we know that's called a side hustle. You know, like what kind of side hustles do you want to put together that make some distance toward $500? I mean, that's a lot on a side hustle, $500 a month, right?
That's right.
But how could this community work together to begin kind of aspiring for that? And of course, I couldn't do that in that project because I was working for the school.
That's right.
You know, they're on behalf. But that's how I got into thinking about, you know what? No, it's about entrepreneurship. That's exactly what these families who aren't naturally entrepreneurs. Now, I know Jared runs a business, and Lynn, I've seen you in the community. I know you have an entrepreneurial drive. I'm talking to Lynn here in particular. There are entrepreneurs out there who are that mindset. I'm not giving up. I've got an idea. If this idea doesn't work, I'm trying something else. They are unstoppable. I've heard that they're about 10 or 15% of the population. It's kind of hard to measure, right? Because we have lots of people running small businesses. These are not people that who are like that. Sure. These are people who are sitting on their side of the table trying to figure out how they make up a shortfall. They are not the knockdown, fall down entrepreneurs who are going to get back up. They're a different kind of person in community. And those are a lot of the small businesses that I wind up working for. Some of them are entrepreneurs. One of my favorite stories that kind of correlates is he was a dishwasher. Mm. And he said, you know what? I want to own something in this community someday. You know, and the other dishwashers laughed along. You know, like, okay, whatever.
Sure.
He owns a $2 million business now.
Wow.
Sells groceries on the east side.
Wow.
To his community.
Wow.
Right? So, like, that's the kind of person. He's not that's like, I'm going to own this restaurant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have to be a restaurant.
That's right.
It didn't matter what the idea was. Mm-hmm. He was coming up.
He was going to drive. That's right.
He's gonna drive and survive.
Yeah.
But another family, she was selling her specialty from her country out of her kitchen, and people would come to her kitchen to buy it. It was just a side hustle. She wasn't an entrepreneur. She was just doing what she needed to make up the shortfall. That business just turned around and did a $1 million renovation on a new restaurant on East 7th Street.
Wow.
That is stunning. And her son that helped kind of turn that around and make that work with her, you know, in this next iteration of the business said, I really want a place that is as good on the outside as my mother's recipes are in the kitchen. So I really want a place that respects my family out here in the dining room the way that she puts it together.
Makes sense.
This is a family story that's not the fall down entrepreneur. They are getting up to make that difference. And
that's right. And so
that's where I found my kind of place in this, figuring out how we work with those kinds of businesses, all of those kinds of businesses, whether they're entrepreneurs or not, to figure out how they're reaching toward whatever that dream is that's going to make what they want to see happen for them and their kids.
So it's kind of one of those things. It wraps into your inspiration. It wrapped your drive in, and it gave you your aha moment. So in a weird sense, that entrepreneur trigger kind of got stoked, right? And if you saw his face here in the studio, you can kind of see the passion in terms of what he did.
Oh, you could hear it.
I think
it went right through the radio waves.
right. Because it's just one of those things. And it's interesting how we individuals are shaped. You know, it just takes that one instant that all of a sudden we explode into something, or we shift, or we pivot and go, you know what, I want to dive into this realm and see how I can contribute. And, you know, entrepreneurs are either societal or profit generating, and hopefully we do both, because we want to, you know, give a hand up instead of a handout type of situation. So I love the passion and the energy, Paris, with regards to what you're about to introduce to us. Tell me about Isaba.
Sure.
Tell me about Isaba. How long has it been around? You know, the focus of the organization. Give me some dirt on what Isaba does.
No doubt, right? Because it's a dirty, dirty business out there. The history of Isaba. So Isaba started in 1990 and launched in 1991.
Oh.
So we are 30 years old plus a year.
Oh.
So, you know, you can say to your friends, I'm turning 29 again, always. You know, that's kind of where Isaba, we're turning 29 again for the second year. And really working on, in the beginning, was the kind of public entity working with the Phelan Corridor redevelopment. So the East Side has five corridors, commercial corridors that are standard and part of the East Side as we know it. You know, the East Side of St. Paul is about 90,000 residents. It's about 2,000 to 3,000 businesses. It's a third of the city's land area. It's a big chunk of territory in St. Paul. And five traditional corridors. Well, the Phelan Corridor is the sixth. And so city and county and other entities were developing this commercial corridor to be for light manufacturing, bigger businesses than fit on Payne, Arcade, East 7th Street, White Bear Avenue, or over in the Sunray area. and with a different focus, right? Like, let's get that 5 minutes from the loading dock to the freeway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, this is part of what was an incredible opportunity for the East Side. Mm-hmm. All right. Really, anywhere in St. Paul. Like, where could this be? Like, that's where they chose to do it. So Isaba was the group that was like, let's get the community involved in this, and let's get community businesses involved in doing that. And then the Phelan Corridor got finished.
And then what's next?
Yeah, and then the board was kind of like, well, okay, we don't have
the
momentum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and some of the capacity that came with a paid staff that was a part of that big project. What are we going to do?
Sure.
And so they chose at that point to pivot and say, you know, what is the East Side, you know, from the business perspective, and who needs us, kind of. If we're going to go East Side wide, that's implied in our name. It wasn't like the Phelan Corridor,
sure.
Business yeah. Association. If we're going to go East Side wide, what does that mean? And what they chose to do was really drill down and focus on advocating success for the diverse business community of St. Paul.
And East Side, Paris, is a pretty diverse community, more so than I think any other parts of St. Paul. There was a study that revealed the majority of our immigrants and really our minorities are on the East Side of St. Paul. Is that right?
By largest percentage of population of the population in general on the East Side. So one of the things that I learned, and we were just having a conversation about the West Side, is that there are more Latinx people on the East Side than there are on the West Side.
That's right.
You know, when we think about the West Side as being kind of the base of the Latinx community, and historically for sure, right? Now there are more Latinos and Latinas on the East Side, living on the East Side, than there are.
Yeah.
So, when you think about like pupuseria, traditional Salvadoran restaurant, serving the different populations, the Mexican consulate is on the East Side, right? Like, so if you want to connect with that community, you're from that community, that's not a bad place to put a business.
And the mm-hmm. restaurants down there are the bomb.
Oh, they sure are, right?
For a person who loves Mexican food, I'm totally going on that side every single time.
That's right. Kind of East 7th as one of those cultural corridors for that community. So come on down. But also the Hmong community. Mm-hmm. Here we are. We're on Frogtown Radio. So, you know, let's be respectful.
That's right.
For sure. But there are lots of Hmong families, lots of Hmong businesses on the East Side. And that's why. Because families live there.
That's right.
And the families who have moved from Frogtown or moved from the East Side have moved right over into kind of the city's first suburb. Suburban development, which is called the Greater East Side. It's a District 2 Community Council right on White Bear Avenue.
Yeah.
Lots of middle-class housing right there. Lots of Hmong families live right there around White Bear Avenue.
And the cultural diversity, I think, on East Side St. Paul is phenomenal, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, isolate all the other districts of St. Paul.
Oh, it's just simply, go ahead and brag.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Let me brag on your behalf
for
your area.
That's my whole goal.
It's amazing the cultural differences and just... You know, someone who is Filipina, I sit here and go, wow, this is like my neighborhood. This is cool, you know, and I love it. So, you know, it's so easy for you to go through this because it's like you're kind of killing my questions here with my next question being, what's your ideal customer? I think you just spelled that out pretty clearly, you know.
Anyway. He didn't leave you many questions to ask.
He didn't.
All of them have been checked off at this point.
I was like, where am I on my script here?
See, now's where it gets interesting. We start just freewheeling. I should also say it's not just the Hmong and the Latinx community.
Absolutely.
You know, strongholds of the African-American community the Karen community. There are kind of newest immigrants, East Africans on the East Side. There's an Oromo Lutheran Church on 7th Street. You know, like there are lots of incredible things going on. Somali families Liberians as well on the East Side. So, you know, and the thing is, we talk about this in the city as that being an asset. You know, we have a public structure that acknowledges that that's an asset, that that diversity should be something that we are talking about and working with and supporting. And that's where I think we're going in the second half of our conversation, right? Like, how well does that play out in the procurement process?
And how effective is the support of those small businesses in that ecosystem coming up? So, I love it. Let's shift a little bit and talk about your programs. What are they? What do they do?
Sure.
What are the benefits, you know, if I was to become a member or just to simply be part of the organization, right?
Yeah.
What's that about?
For sure. So ISABA really focuses on that success for the diverse business community on the east side in three primary ways. We're really doing community engagement to get owners connected to each other, business leaders and business folks, organization members who are on the east side. That which, you know, nonprofits are doing a lot of fundraising at this time of year coming into the Thanksgiving week. So we've got a lot of conversations with our nonprofits. We have about 30 nonprofits in our 138 members. So,
wow.
I mean, there are lots of community folks who are like, look, this is a good organization to meet people, connect with people, learn some things, learn from each other, which is one of the key ROI, return on investment opportunities that we have at ISABA. Meet some other people that are living it like you're living it and figuring it out. What solutions work for them? So that's the kind of community engagement we mean. We do business advocacy, and we do that at the city level. So this city procurement conversation is a good one for me because we've been thinking about other city processes and what small businesses and any business really has to do if they want to be a business in St. Paul, because that's where our members think about us as their advocate. What ways are we stronger together than we are alone when we think about Amen. Going down to the city? And who's had the same experience? This is what they learned talking to other owners too, right? Other people, other managers at other businesses, like, oh, you learned that too.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, you had that kind of, oh, well, this is what happened to me. Yes. You know, and they want to talk about how do we change that?
Yes.
How do we solve that problem so that doesn't happen to the next person? Or this was my workaround, or this is how we got up over that, or we're still held down by that. You mean you got a solution to that? So all that's really valuable.
The song is
about
the same.
Advocacy.
The song is the same when it comes to small businesses. And again, we'll jump into that a little bit okay. later, you know?
The other thing we try to do, we're a marketing association. So the other thing we try to do, you know, we're not those other two things necessarily when people think about what's your business association. It's a marketing association. So we're working on driving new business for our members. The idea is be a part of that multiplier story for dollars bouncing around the east side before they bounce out. So when you're looking for services, this is a procurement thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking for who to get your X, Y, or Z from in your supply chain, can you pick an east side business? Come meet them. See mm-hmm. who we've got. See what we have on the east side. We just had a great conversation this morning at one of our programs, an east side coffee break, where we just had people talk about what do you wish you could get on the east side?
Oh.
What businesses do you wish were here? You're shopping for it someplace else. What do you wish were happening here on the east side?
What a great roundtable that would be, you know?
How many people did you find that, like, they came up with something that already exists on the east side and they just didn't know?
Yeah, nobody came up with something that already existed on the
okay.
east side.
Okay. That is interesting. I figured somebody would have been like, ah, so okay, that's pretty good.
Right, right. But wouldn't it have been great? And sometimes this does happen, like, oh, no, I know somebody who does that.
Yeah.
That happens. That's a really magical kind of thing. Like, oh, because you feel great making a referral to somebody with something that works for you.
I know this guy. You can go, or this person, and
totally
you can
right.
go ahead and talk to them.
Yep.
That would be the rich ecosystem where we could connect it and such. And so it's the hard part is that I didn't know that you did that, and then you're sitting here going, where did I miss? Where did I go? Or what is not in the ecosystem that these small businesses? Because again, one association can't do it all.
No, for sure.
Right. So it has to be like this group effort, like you said, doing it together more so than doing it alone.
Jared, I want to come back to what you said though, just to excuse me, Lynn, because something just did occur to me, and it happened in my own story recently.
Yeah.
I called a new member and said, you know, look, I know you do granite and countertops, but what I really need is a tile setter. Like, mm-hmm. I got the tile. I've already bought the product. I need the labor. I need to get this job done. My person has fallen down and they can't get up and I need help. And he said, oh, no, we do that too.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa, really? Yeah. Usually I'm 2 weeks out, but you know, I got a job opening right now. How about Monday? I was like, and I got to use an east side business where I was just calling the leads I was getting from the place that sold me the tile.
Yeah.
They didn't have any east side leads.
Yeah.
Wow.
I called one of my members. Turns out he does the work.
Yeah.
So, and he did a beautiful job.
Awesome.
Beautiful
Who is
job.
It? How about a shout out?
Yeah. I he's a new member and his name is Midway. It's Midway.
Okay.
Gorsk and Greco, or Greco and Gorsk. Yanni Halmas. such a fantastic contact. And I totally need to get your business on my radar. Anyway, Yanni, I hope you're listening because you can grill me about this later and give me a hard time.
Well, you know what? You can always you can always connect with Paris on the Saba.com website, right? And, you know, we'll put that in on our website at procurementgames.org and we'll have his information so you can find Yanni. How about
that's
that?
That's for sure. Right, cuz it's right up on my member page. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, and this honestly, that's another thing that I do a lot of. Part of what you get from me is just calling, hey, do we know anybody does this? And I'm pulling up the member directory and looking for new members and looking for members that have been there a long time too.
So is that what you would consider the creative part of what you guys do? Or is there something else? Is there something that you guys, Saba does that's super creative, do you think?
Yeah, that's not so much creative as it is just kind of the glue of doing good network. Mm-hmm. Oriented work.
And I think network.
Oh, yes.
You are everywhere, Paris.
Oh, I do, yeah. That's part phenomenal. Of my personality, and I love meeting people.
If you can see Paris in studio, he likes to, I'm sure he could talk to anybody, so I don't think he has any problem talking to someone.
I don't know, Jared. Sure. It's kind of like me. I think he's kind of shy.
Yeah. I am shy like Lynn in that way.
Yes.
But I guess what I'll say is the creative part is what we did this morning. So we hosted a coffee break every month. We did one here where we had 20 people get in the room and we asked the next question that I mentioned earlier about what they wish they saw on the east side, because we were doing a community development focus, and we moved them every 3 minutes. I rang the bells and, you know, like talked to somebody new. Oh. You met everybody in the room in 30 minutes and then we harvested their ideas. We put them on the
love it.
Right. So, nice. And some of the good stuff came out when they were harvesting at the end. Oh, here's an idea I hadn't thought about. Right. So that's the creative part.
How often do you
we do
have
those
your
monthly.
Coffee breaks?
Monthly.
They shift everywhere someplace? Or
yeah,
they,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll go to the coffee houses on the east side to Sweet Hollow or to Cadence, or I really want to go over to Exquisite Cake Bakery on White Bear Avenue.
Shout out Exquisite Cake. If you're listening.
Yeah. Hope you're listening because we really want you as an Asaba member. You know, my goal is to really promote my members, but also to let
he's people, not marketing y'all.
Let people know. On
shameless
the
plug.
So today we were at.
That's right.
Today, let me shamelessly plug East Side Neighborhood Development Company. They were our Commitment to Community winner in 2022. Sorry, what year are we in? And today we were at their shop, They don't serve coffee. They got coffee from Sweet Hollow and treats from Sweet Hollow Cafe. Brought it to their place, but we were in their conference room having these conversations.
That's awesome. So before we get started in this next segment talking about the industry and the challenges in the industry, Jared, take it away.
WFNU is a volunteer-run station made up of many different community voices. Each program expresses one aspect of this diversity and not the view of WFNU or FTI as a whole.
You know, I got to give myself credit because you didn't have to cut me off on that one. I looked at the clock and was like, yeah, I think it's our turn to plug that in so we can get a little dirtier in terms of...
Disclaimer. We're past the disclaimer this time.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're smart about that disclaimer. But before I jump into the into what I like, to the sandbox, the dirt. I really use dirt a lot, I've noticed. What makes it unique? What makes Asaba unique for small businesses?
Thanks for asking that question. I'll try to follow it pretty quickly because I know
I want to get dirty.
You got it. Yeah. Asaba serves the east side of St. Paul. So if you're interested in the east side, the businesses that join us care about our side of town. They care about what happens there. They care about the residents there. They know that a better east side is better for their business. And they know that they can't do that on just their corner. You know, the problem that we just walked in is on aisle 3 now was a problem that walked from down the street. And when that problem is moving on, it's going down the street to the next business, and that we can't get our hands around everything we need to do unless we're doing it together.
Yeah.
And businesses, you know, businesses are juggling about 81 different things.
Yeah.
If they can find a solution that they can work out with businesses down the street that isn't a lift that they're doing all on their own, they might sit down with you and do that. So if you care about the east side, that's the significantly unique thing about Asaba.
I'm going to use that as that quote about the lift. That's a phenomenal quote, so we're going to have to tag that back and push that into social media change. So let me switch, because you just sort of led us into this next topic of challenges that small businesses face. And we can you know, dive into specific industry that you're aware of. You know, we're emerging from COVID, and we know how it hit restaurants, mm-hmm. right? And we know how the inflation and the cost of goods in grocery stores just in our community has gone up. So tell me a little bit about that. And then some of the challenges. Let me go to the other side. Challenges of the industry, but how did that affect Isamba? What challenges did you guys end up facing during, let's just say, COVID and post?
Yeah, there are so many ways to answer this question.
I know.
The two ways that I want to get at are, we are Isamba. The significant thing about Isamba is get in the room. So get there, connect with each other. That's where the magic happens. All this that we were just talking about a second ago, it happens when you give something to it, to that connection you want to build. And it doesn't happen necessarily through me. It happens. You had a conversation over here. That person connected you to somebody else. I didn't even hear about it. It was a good thing that happened because you got in the room. Well, COVID closed the room. There was no room.
And no tables.
Wait, you couldn't do that in the Zoom room?
Oh, we tried, man. Yeah, we tried. And honestly, Jared, we went from a meeting every month
where we were
trying to do the networking thing, and then maybe a lunch thing every month too. We had kind of two things a month, to a Zoom meeting every week.
Wow.
Trying to keep it together,
yeah.
Give people a space to come and just connect with each other, talk, build some of those connections. And some really powerful things happened in that Zoom room. Some connections really were made. One of my favorite, just briefly, was like, hey, we're having a hard time getting meals to seniors. This is nice for this nonprofit conversation that we were having before just a second ago, thinking about them at this time of year. We're having trouble getting those meals to seniors. Oh, well, we just put pallets of food down in our place. We're thinking about becoming a food shelf or thinking about having a food program. And then somebody else, another nonprofit, saying, and we've got the vans.
Mm. Well,
and they did it all on
up.
A Zoom call.
Right.
And I've just sat there stunned.
Yeah.
You
know, so that's the kind of thing that did come out of some of those Zoom environments, which was kind of great. But it's real hard to make those connections if you don't have the Zoom environment. The second thing is the PPP didn't come through for 501c6.
That's right.
So 501c6 associations, I didn't push any member to the edge. Like, no, you know what? You can't pay your dues this year. You're off. It's over. No. Like, no, we want to retain you. We want to keep our conversation going. We want to help you. Like, we know this is a time when you need other folks supporting you. So we're not letting you go, but you can't pay. Yeah. Well, how are we going to eat?
That's right.
You know, and 501c6 waited until the very end of the game. Honestly, I went to my board and I said, look, next month's the end. You know, and four board members stood up. Now, the pandemic was hard on a lot of businesses.
Absolutely.
In fact, it was hard on the community. The stress was on everybody. But some businesses did okay.
Sure.
And let's be honest, some businesses did very well.
Yep.
And those businesses stepped up and said, we will put money in this game to keep Isamba alive.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, wow. Awesome spot.
And they just stood right up and did it.
That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
So that's how we made it. Anyway, that's part of how the pandemic affected us and what it means to members when they will just double down and say, if other members can't pay right now, some of us can.
Yeah.
And we're going to pay bigger so that we can keep this going until the PPP did come in and the philanthropic community did come in, and Isamba started a 501c3 right then, a charitable foundation, because we couldn't go out and get grants.
Get money. That's right.
Until we did. So anyway, that's part of how we pivoted.
Mm.
So industry-wise, though, what challenges have you heard? I know we kind of started on that train before this segment started. What are some of the challenges outside of COVID? So now we're recovering-ish and such. What are the small businesses telling you that isn't working for them? What more can we do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking industry-wise, we can think pan-industry with just a couple points. Everybody's got utilities to pay, or what they think of as utilities. Any way we can save small businesses money on the things they all have to do, like solid waste, for instance. So Isamba worked a couple of years ago, and this is no more pertinent it's more pertinent now than it was then.
Mm-hmm.
If you can save $200 a month on your solid waste bill, you should.
Yeah.
And Biz Recycling and the programs that the county have put together to figure out how you move it from the taxed stream of solid waste to the untaxed stream of recycling or the untaxed stream of organics is a money saver for businesses that have heavy things in their waste stream. So right now, businesses just think about trash as a utility. It's just a cost we have to pay. We just have to pay whatever the hauler's charging.
Yeah.
We have worked really hard to say no. You should take a look at that. You should work on figuring out if any of that can come out so that you save even a little bit. Because when your margin was 3% before the pandemic and now pork costs $40 instead of $20 or instead of $5,
Trash is an important thing.
Then every little thing is an important thing if you're paying it monthly.
That's right.
Anyway, services like that.
Well, and then even, I know we're talking about the east side right now, but it's some of the work we've been involved in on the west side, on the Reconnect Rondo front. There's a theme in that whole process is that there is no waste. And so they're thinking about through on taking that waste and turning it back into product. How do we turn that back into product so that there isn't actually waste? And that's some cool stuff.
That is great stuff. In fact, yeah. I want more of that on the east side. If you're finding some partners in the Rondo area, see, now here we go shamelessly again.
Shameless plugs.
Please bring, I mean, the east side is a place where that kind of innovation is just baked in. We're ready for that. We're hungry for that. How do we get more of it on the east side? And that's the big thing that I've got with the city and with other partners, right? Like, how do we get you to the east side to work with us on stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely.
It's cool stuff.
So, yeah, it's your cue.
My cue?
Yes.
All right. So when we're looking at the ecosystem, we're talking about ecosystem. We're talking about waste, right? That's a whole ecosystem. I mean, that's an ecosystem of stuff, right?
In and of itself.
I have too much of this. I need it gone for my operations to work, right? But I am taking that in. So what kind of ecosystem challenges are you seeing, or what have you been doing to solve some of the ecosystem? You brought up waste and getting rid of it, but what are some other things that are going on?
Yeah, so this is on mind right now, especially as we think about what a recovery is out of the pandemic. The east side, you can drive any of those five corridors and the Phelan corridor too, any of those six corridors and see vacant lots, businesses that are down, boarded, buildings that are vacant. I'm not talking about just since the pandemic. Businesses and lots that have been down for 15 years, 17 years. We don't even have to talk about the ones that have been down for much, much, much longer. So the question becomes, as things bounce and turn for us here, and the east side looks good because those property values are low, speculative investment that's going to pull that off and mean displacement for our businesses is a
gentrification
challenge.
Type of a thing.
Gentrification is happening.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And more is coming.
Yes.
So businesses, how do you get your, and you can just be afraid of that. We all be afraid of that. I mean, that's, but then what do you do about it?
That's right.
So well, on the east side, we're working on questions like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it used to be the fear of the big box stores coming into our towns, right? And so now it's the fear of this big development companies who claim they're not going to. I mean, you can argue both sides of gentrification. There's good in it and there's bad in it, right?
Yep.
But if our ecosystem as businesses can truly, truly impact and help themselves so that the community doesn't go blighted or go down the path of it, it really has to – it has to come from us. It has to come from within. It has to come from the small businesses and things like that. So
And so then the next question then on that, when you have blighted areas, right, is do you see an opportunity for government? Like we're talking about goals and procurement, right? So do you see a way that procurement can be a part of that ecosystem, maybe from policy level or from governmental level in order to help really goose or invigorate an area to kind of change?
Not
gentrify, but change.
Right. Because honestly, like, you know, you're grilling me. I can't go back to the east side if I say, like, we don't want any development. Please don't give us any investment.
That's
no dollars, right? No. I mean,
that's
please,
not what we're
please
saying.
Don't misunderstand me. There are lots of people who would be like, any development.
That's right.
It's set vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody. Can we get anybody? You know, is part of where the east side has been. But anybody can't be our answer.
That's
because
right.
It's not doing what you're talking about. Part of what you mean that I see is like, look, what we need those procurement dollars to do is help the people that are already there in their business and struggling to get back up out of COVID stay.
Right.
Stay and start to thrive and ask them to make
sustainability.
Yes, for sure. And you know, stability, period.
Stability
like,
and stability.
How do we use the government dollars that are supposed to be for highest and best? Highest use, best use.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to our communities by purchasing the things you can get from us.
Right.
And I know that's what they want to do. I mean, that's what we've heard they want to do. Okay. And how do we make those systems easier for that to actually happen?
Yeah. And you and I sit on the City of St. Paul Business Review Council.
Do we have to admit that?
Okay, we're not admitting it. Strike it from the record.
No, of course we should admit that. There is a business review council.
There is a business review council, folks. And, you know, the last time we talked about seats at the table, the city of St. Paul's created a lot of tables. And the business review council is one of them. And Paris and I happen to be appointed members. And we talk about challenges that small businesses face. You know, this is that conversation in terms of, hey, city of St. Paul, how much are you spending and how much can you give to small businesses? Because guess what? I've got a small business out in the east side that perhaps sells toilet paper, paper products and things. And last time I checked, you guys are back into the office and using restrooms that can do this type of stuff, right? Can supply this type of stuff. And we can go as granular as toilet paper. We can go as granular as pens. We can go as granular as technology. And the city can do more, right? It's not that they're not doing anything. It's just we need to do more.
Are we ready to talk about why it doesn't happen?
Why doesn't it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it work? And the city has opinions about this too, of course. I mean, I hope they will come and be on your show.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure. Why is a directory or a list a bad idea? You already covered it in a podcast, right? What happens when the rubber meets the road of scale?
He said it, Jared. That's Jared's favorite phrase.
Oh, is it Jared?
The rubber meets the road.
And I didn't even know we were going to be best friends on this one. Why don't you have MnDOT on the show?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They're coming. Public Works is coming from the city. So, you know, part of the issue is scale. If you've got to work with, and I learned this in local food, that's how I got to the east side. I was a part of a local food B Corp that was working on building a food hub. Okay. Well, food is one of those things. It's one of those things I learned from my grandfather. My immigrant grandfather owned two businesses. He owned a grocery store and he owned a liquor store. And guess what he said about vegetables? You know, vegetables versus wine, right?
That's
like
right.
One of them gets better with age and one of them does not.
Rots. There's a stink in the refrigerator is what that does.
So a small business is trying to run something around food that is a low margin, difficult industry to keep, and prices fluctuate a little bit, makes it really hard for them to compete on bids that are as big as the county or the city is really offering in those domains. I mean, really, like we've got correctional facilities that need to do procurement for food that they're feeding to people, or schools that, and St. Paul Public Schools has done a really good job of this in the past. We're hoping that they will get back into kind of doing this kind of thing too. But how do they source locally when they've got 50 suppliers, or they could make one phone call.
That's right.
They could make one phone call and have that done. Now they're moving on to the next challenge.
And, you know, that's the thing, because it happens across industries, in technology, in construction, in anything. Well, you're not big enough. And we really don't want to make multiple phone calls, right? And so in the construction realm, we scope out specific trades and determine who in the market can actually perform.
Mm-hmm.
See, the food industry can do the same thing.
Yes.
If they want to be intentional and purposeful about using small businesses, about using local source. And I know your example is food, but it applies to construction. Again, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but that's what I get really, really irked about. Because the greatest excuse is you don't have capability, you don't have capacity. You can do the work, you can deliver the lettuce, you can deliver the food, right? But you're not creating a pathway for me to get it to you. And your best excuse is you're too small.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Yep. That's that, and that's the mind shift that we have to pivot from. It just I ain't buying it. Not
so,
buying it.
So sometime I'd love to hear Jared talk a little bit more about the word cooperative in the name of his business, because that's a solution that small suppliers have used for generations in this country that could solve part of that local food question.
That's right.
How do we get large enough to have a marketing supplier be a cooperative owned by the small businesses? We've tried that. We had a wonderful one on the east side too. There's a little bit of that going on, but that's one of those solutions the city could prefer. Like, we would like to work with small suppliers that are getting together, and we're going to help them build cooperatives. We're going to provide technical assistance for building the strange thing that's called a cooperative.
But that's the
which
thing.
Which is not a strange thing, because Land O'Lakes is right there.
Ah, come
it's
on.
One of the largest yeah. cooperatives yeah. in the world.
How about CHS?
Yeah.
CHS.
And but Ocean Spray.
The largest.
Yeah,
so yeah Ocean Spray.
One of the things, though, is like those guys, you're naming, you're dropping names that are huge, right? Right? They're, and they have the dollars and the cents. So I believe one of the solutions is for the city to sponsor, to create a pathway for co-ops, whether it's in the food industry, the whatever industry is in the need, where it is primarily to elevate those small businesses in the east side, west side, whatever side of the city of St. Paul. And when I say create a pathway, call us. Right? Call Maggie Company. I'll line that up, right? And we can put that together. We can call Paris, and I can guarantee you that between the two of us, the three of us, we put together a cooperative system and define how it's going to be most useful for our community. And you just give us the infrastructure, the money to put it together. I bet you it will yield more benefits and results for the city. It'll make the city look awesome.
I agree.
Right.
The city is looking into that, and I with Nexus Community awesome. Partners. So, okay. I mean, there's a technical assistance provider that is right here in our community that could help us do some of that TA with that idea about cooperatives. Yeah. Our tap, I think, would be like, how do we want to use that infrastructure in our community?
Awesome.
Which community businesses could we pull to that?
All right.
To that table.
So we're going to shout out to Nexus, and we're going to be coming after you, I guess, is what we're really saying, right? So,
one of the things I wanted to know too, and this is technically in your list of questions, but I'm going to ask it.
Okay, go.
What's your community engagement plan like? Is it only businesses? Are you dealing with, because you're also dealing with businesses that are targeting residential customers, right? So are you, what's your engagement plan like? Is it only businesses? Is it residential? How are you guys going to market?
Yeah. So ISABA exists to serve the interest of its members.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's, you know, that kind of class of attention really goes to the folks who have signed up and said, look, we really want to be members. Here's our membership dues for the year. We do dues annually. But like I said, what we want is really participation. Mm-hmm. So you want to come and participate. You want to show up at the program level where people are meeting each other and kind of figure out what the East Side's all about from this perspective. You know, it's just one of the slices from your disclaimer. You know? Then come on. Anybody is welcome. So the way we promote that is by having a community calendar where we build that. We promote that with many of our partners that also serve residents and are trying to serve businesses too, like the community councils, for instance, or like nonprofits that are doing something specific, like the Housing Justice Group that works out of the Eastside Housing Justice Group that works out of the Eastside Freedom Library. Those folks are focused on connecting with a specific population, or Family Values for Life that works with moms primarily that are working on kind of building themselves and building their families. So those folks are working on helping us reach those constituencies, but it's through our members. You know, like we're not reaching outside of the business community or the organizational ecosystem for nonprofits unless one of our members is.
Sure.
Let's go over here and connect with these folks. Sometimes it's driven by, like, we've got a big project. It's going right up 7th Street. It's a Millen overlay. MnDOT and the city are working with us on it, and it's going right up Arcade. We had one that just went right out Minnehaha. Well, which are the businesses that get impacted by that? So suddenly it gets real specific, right? The businesses and the residents and the people that care about Arcade, we want to get them together to start talking, keep talking
yeah.
about something slightly new. Now they're not talking about what they usually talk about. They're talking about curb inset and how much yep. You know, right away they get, and how that's going to impact their business when you tear up their street for 2 weeks. And when is that going to happen?
Be done? And when's it going to be done?
And when's it going to be done?
That's right. The question.
Are there going to be any resources to help me weather it? Okay, right. So So that's a new conversation they weren't even having.
Yeah.
They didn't even know to have, right? Wow. So suddenly we need to be having that. And MnDOT was a part of the community engagement plan. I mean, they needed to reach businesses.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So they just elicited us as a partner to say, well, let's do it together.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope that gives you an idea of like how broad that pattern is, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'll say, this is really how broad it is. If you're interested in the East Side, you're welcome at our table.
Yeah,
and that's
awesome.
That's how broad it is. And that's how we try to promote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, people find us because they're looking. If they're looking for
a
business association, you know, they're looking for something specific.
They need support. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So you're not going to believe this, but we're almost done.
No.
Yeah, we're wrapping. I know, because this is going to be like
such a fast hour.
I know it is, and there's so much more to share. So the last thing that I do want to do is ask you, like, what's next for Isava?
What we've got in the pipeline right this minute. Last year we started something because we had to shut down two of our in-person fundraising options. And we'd never done a coupon book for our members before.
Oh, fun.
So we did we called it the East Side Orbiter. And we put together 30 deals for the 30 years of Isava. And like I said, we're turning 29 again.
That's so cool.
This year. So it was cool. And we sold it as a fundraiser. Yeah. You know, we sold them for $20 a piece and got them out into the community. And it helped us kind of patch that hole where we didn't have the revenue coming off of a special event. But what we learned from our members is this kind of year-long promotion for deals on the East Side in a booklet form that somebody can hold in their hand is a really good idea. We should be doing this for our members, period. And so we're doing it again. We're launching a second ever East Side Orbiter that will come out in December, hopefully for your stocking stuffers if you stuff stockings.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, to be that kind of promotional for the East Side. Oh, look at these things. Look, I had no idea. Look how thick this book is. Look at all these great things that we've got on the East Side.
So
really?
Cool.
I could go there like that.
Yeah. I remember those entertainment books that you used to buy back. And you know, those kind of went away. Even, yeah. I don't even know when that went. That was like the thing of the 90s. We just aged ourselves.
I was just at a Rondo event, got a raffle thing from just being there at a thing, and then they gave out a city tin. So it was like all these restaurants, and you had a spinner, you flick the spinner, and it randomly selects a restaurant, and it had a deal for a restaurant.
Cool.
And like that was the city tins.
That'd be kind
of
cool
thing.
On your coffee break thing, you know? Yeah. Kind of do a little spin like a...
It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Was it electronic? Or
no,
was
it was
actually a spinner.
It came in a little tin, and it has all the little deals, like their cup holder or a coaster. And you, yeah.
Now I have a picture in my mind. I want to see the real thing.
I'll show it to you. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
See if it fits in from what I have in mind. Nice, Jared. It's very cool.
Yeah, very cool. So I want to close this out. So how do folks get involved with your company? With Isava? Is there like an application process? Is there like a high-level requirement that we have to jump into?
No. So like right here, we talk about how hard it is to get procurement to happen. You want to advertise with Isava and drive new business, your business or an organization on the East Side. You just go to isava.org and you click on Become a Member. And all the membership levels are there. Like I said, it's an annual. To give you an idea, for a 1 to 10 person full-time employee shop, it's $200 a year. And that price hasn't changed for the 5 years we've been running.
Very cool.
For about five. So, and it's not changing this year. We're trying to keep this affordable because the idea is about participation.
Yeah.
Get there. You can find that on isava.org. You can also find my contact information. Just give me a call. Like, hey, you know, what's the East Side? What are we even talking about? Do I count? You know, like, is my side of town included? Kind of like when you call, you know, like, do you deliver to my area?
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Give me a call.
But here's the thing. You don't also have to be at the East Side. If you're in St. Paul, you know, and you want to contribute to the community, the businesses and such in that area, or just to be part of that ecosystem, you could also be a member. I'm going to make that assumption, right?
You got that right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anybody who cares about the East Side. And if you click on our membership directory and click, like, view the map, you'll see that it's not all. I mean, it's dense on the East Side, but there are other folks involved too.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know what? Our time is coming here to a close. I didn't think that we were gonna talk.
You didn't think
this
you'd fill
much.
Out an hour, Lynn?
No, I never think I'll. You know, because I'm shy. You know, Paris and I are really shy people. We don't have that personality, you know. So, but Paris, thank you for joining us today and sharing what Isava and all the benefits of working with your organization. So, Jared. Let me flip this to you. Any final thoughts of wisdom?
Wisdom? I don't know if I got that, but I did want to thank Paris for coming in. Your enthusiasm is infectious, so especially your advocacy for the East Side, and there's a lot going for the East Side. And my wife and I, we spent about 5 months while we were house hacking. So we were trying to figure out what we were going to do after we sold our place during COVID. And so we had some friends over on the East Side. It was a beautiful area to be able to run around Lake Phelan and doing all that stuff over there. And a member of yours, Brunson's, friends of ours, they always Brunson's, and tongue-in-cheek
love
over
Brunson's.
There is good stuff. So
yes, that's right.
All those areas. We really appreciate the East Side and the diversity that's over there, Hmong Village, everything. So,
well, Jared, we expect you to get an East Side Orbiter and keep coming back.
All right.
There you go.
Sounds good. Well, don't forget in December we open up on Tuesdays for our live call-in session. That phone number again, 651-313-5125.
Thanks, Jared. So I want to encourage everyone on that's tuned in, right, to engage with ISAVA, because we need to support the local associations who are intentionally helping us in the background. Obviously, ISAVA is one organization that's doing some great things for the business community on the East Side, and there are many others that you should be a part of, either as a supporter, as a leader, or even just a contributor. Folks, let me close with this. We always talk about that low-hanging fruit, but we have to realize that if we look up, there is a whole tree, and it is filled with fruit getting ready to ripen. Get involved in your community, get involved in that ecosystem, and get engaged. I think that's really all I have to say. So, until next time, Jared and Lynn out.